Tell people why it's safe. I mean, is it?
Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The scandal surrounding Congressman Mark Foley and his emails to young boys, high school age pages, took a big turn with revelations from a Roman Catholic priest now living on a Mediterranean island that he was way too close to Foley when Foley was a young teenager, an altar boy. The priest talks to Katie Couric on the CBS Evening News tonight.
According to this newspaper account, you massaged him when he was naked, and you were naked in the same room on overnight trips.
Like the athletes, you know, he'll stay with his towel on and go on the bench, and I will massage his neck and his back, you know, like they do to athletes, you know.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The House Ethics Committee heard closed-door testimony from the second-ranking Republican leader in the House. John Boehner has said he heard about Foley's emails months ago and told House Speaker Dennis Hastert. And he told reporters this isn't hurting Republican efforts to hold on to Congress.
It does not appear to be affecting any of our races in any way.
But that may be a bit of wishful thinking. Pollsters say it is hurting Republicans nationwide and has put at risk several seats belonging to GOP leaders and the one in Florida Foley used to hold. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Al-Qaeda gunmen demonstrated briefly in the streets today in Iraq. About 60 men with guns carrying banners proclaiming their connection to the Shura Council. In the meantime, the U.S.-led coalition says there must be changes made in the operation aimed at pacifying Baghdad because it's not working.
In Baghdad, Operation Together Forward has made a difference in the focus areas, but has not met our overall expectations of sustaining a reduction and the levels of violence.
Major General William Caldwell says the level of violence is disheartening. Senator John McCain has talked to CBS News about the situation in Iraq, what to do.
I would increase the size of the Army and Marine Corps by some 100,000 people, and I would send more troops over there where necessary, and I would listen very carefully to my military commanders.
The stock market rally among the Dow industrials crested 12,000 today to close at 12,011. That's up 19 points.
Now that we're at that magical level, I'll refer back to an old market bromide, you buy the wake and you sell the wedding. Well, today we saw the bride and groom walking down the aisle.
Al Goldman at A.G. Edwards. 19 years ago today, by the way, was a day Wall Street would rather forget, Black Monday, when the Dow fell 508 points. NASDAQ gained about 4. Oil prices closed at $58.50 a barrel. That was up 85 cents today. Female juvenile delinquents tend not to be so ladylike. And so, Juvie Hall in Orange County, California, has begun a new program. The Mission Possible program puts young girls in trouble through charm school. They learn manners, diet, fashion tips that do not include tattoos and hardware stuck into their bodies anywhere. They even learn classic dance steps and the beginnings, at least, of basic social skills. This is CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah, how do you manage all the aches and pains?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Some Kazakhs are not amused by the satire of Sacha Baron Cohen as Borat, a fictional journalist in a new movie which parodies life in Kazakhstan.
Although Kazakhstan a glorious country, it have a problem too. This why Ministry of Information have decided to send me to USA.
Kazakh officials have invited the actor to come and visit. The movie, Borat, Cultural Learning of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan, opens in 2 weeks. Who'd have thunk it? Remember when cell phones first came out? Big, clunky things? Some of us said, not for me. Now seems everyone has one. And it's not your grandma's cell phone either. Pretty near everyone, cell phone shipments this year may top a billion for the first time. Nokia is the industry leader, followed by Motorola, Samsung, Sony, and LG. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Say, would you like to win an exciting island getaway? Well, log on to daysin.com for your chance to follow the sun to exotic Hawaii. You and the guests will fly to Honolulu to enjoy time under the sun, courtesy of Days In, the best value under the sun. Log on to daysin.com for details, official rules, and your chance to win this amazing prize. That's daysin.com. Days In, the best value under the sun.
Hi, I'm Smokey, and this is my new friend Ernie.
Hi.
Ernie wants to be a biker.
Sure do.
Okay, just calm down, Ernie. First, you need a bike. Then you need Geico Motorcycle Insurance. They cover most kinds of bikes and have money-saving discounts. And finally, you'll need a nickname. Something that suits you, like, I don't know, Fuzzy Bunny.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Too late. It's already stuck, Fuzzy.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Collins. Oh, yeah. Back from a road trip to Eureka, California. I'm back in my secret studio location with the Department of Homeland Security white van, comfortably parked outside. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Oh, we got a lot to talk about, but first up, I have my priorities. Happy birthday, Mom. She's not bragging, but it's number 83. And my oldest brother celebrates a birthday, too, today. He was born on Mom's 25th birthday. Happy birthday to Tom B. Collins.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh, no, this is the road.
Well, yesterday we did the remote in Blue Lake, California, and I want to thank all the folks who made it possible, Tom Seaborn, Dave Berman, and all the fine listeners who showed up there in Blue Lake at Del Arte. And I spent the night at the Seaborn Rancheria, delightful place in Trinidad, and then headed south into the foggy redwoods. What a beautiful drive it was on this fall day. And the colors change in California really at the vineyards. And when I hit Ukiah and headed south into Sonoma County, just spectacular. And I had a great time in Eureka. I want to thank all the people who came out and made that special broadcast possible. And we will probably return someday soon. In the meantime, we're here on the radio. Got 3 hours to talk about important issues, and there are many. Coming up in about a half an hour, we'll talk with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. She'll update us on the plight of her cousin, who was caught up in an immigration sweep and detained in a very cold and kind of cruel manner. We'll talk about that and also find out what else Larissa's covering these days. Next hour, we're going to spend the hour with Thomas Frank. Tom Frank wrote a groundbreaking book in 2004 called What's the Matter with Kansas? And he has relented after declining interviews over the last few months because he was too busy. And he just got tired of having me call. So Tom's going to be on for about an hour. And we're going to talk about how the heartland of America has shifted over the last couple of years as we see my home birth state of Ohio is turning against the Republicans. And it's going to be a very interesting midterm election less than 3 weeks from today. And speaking of the election here in California, there is one case where I cannot support the statewide Democratic candidate. And that is in the insurance commissioner's race. So the Republican nominee is going to be on our program today for your evaluation. Steve Poizner will join us to kick off the Free Speech Zone Hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show as we press on today. Every week we talk with Faz Shakir. He is co-editor of the Daily Progress Report from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And he's currently standing outside the think tank because, what, they're doing a fire drill at a think tank?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the state of terror has struck the Center for American Progress.
Uh-huh. And what happens when all those brainiacs get forced out of the building and have to stand on the sidewalk, Fez?
Well, we have to do our interviews on our BlackBerry handheld cell phones, and so I hope you can hear me.
Oh, you're coming through loud and clear.
Yeah. Great.
And we'll just wait for one of the marine choppers to drown you out or something like that. Washington's always full of a lot of outdoor noises.
Yeah, I also wanted to wish your mother a happy birthday, and I was wondering whether she also has the middle initial of B.
She does.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, that's my mom.
That's great.
Yeah. So, Faz, it's been quite a day. I woke up this morning in far northern California, and I flipped on the TV, and they were going wall-to-wall with his story of threats against NFL stadiums. And even as they were reporting it, in kind of breathless breaking news style, the crawl across the bottom said, threat not credible. And as I drove further today, by noontime Pacific, the news had broken that this is a hoax. And I think that somebody owes us an apology. Who do you think it ought to be?
I think the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security. They were the ones, I believe, who were stoking this the most. And that's because after this anonymous blog kind of published this ridiculous rumor based on nothing, now we know it was just a pure hoax. They decided to pour some fuel on the fire and met with the NFL and started to talk about what precautions needed to be taken and how to address this threat. And at the same time, they were saying that they had no credible evidence to believe that this was a real threat, but yet they were trying to make it appear that there was something serious going on. And of course, as I talk about this, I think you and I are both thinking the same thing, that we're just a few weeks away from the election. And we've been here before with 2004. As we approach elections, somehow terror warnings seem to crop up constantly.
Well, if we were to use a theater organ metaphor here, Karl Rove has his fat little fingers on a flat key. Just to try to, you know, get the scary music out there and get us to respond to these different chords that they're playing. And, you know, I can't say specifically. I have no inside knowledge that this is something that was hyped or, prematurely released. But it really appears that we've got to come up with some sort of protocols for threat analysis and some sort of a system for deciding when to inform the public about these alleged plots or threats. Because
what was most disturbing about the way that the department handled this issue is that they said that they were stoking the issue, that is, that they were meeting with the NFL and alerting the public because a blog had mentioned it. And they wanted to make sure, this is their story, they wanted to make sure that the public didn't grow too anxious about a report that was on this blog that probably a couple of thousand people might read a day. And so if that's the procedure, I think that we have some grave concerns here, because then that gives the trigger finger to just about any anonymous blogger who wants to go on and cause a stir.
Well, and next I'd like to criticize the media, because this report I saw, as I referenced, they have these maps up with the alleged threatened targeted stadia, and at the bottom it says threat not credible. And the media has a responsibility not to just, pass along information without evaluating it and filtering it. And it seems like the function of editors has gone by the wayside, as they just want to get whatever comes through out there first and, try to generate as much of a ratings hit as they can off it. And this one seems extremely irresponsible, since they knew that they had doubts about the credibility of this threat at the very same time that they're trumping it.
Yeah, and this has been a repeated problem over the past 6 years, and it was the subject of the Michael Moore movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, where he showed repeatedly that the media was overreacting to claims when they had very little to go off. And I think there hasn't been a discussion about media ethics in a terror environment. And we'll recall that, afterwards, there was a lot of pressure put on journalists to be tough, quote-unquote tough, on the war on terror. And I'm talking about the Ari Fleischer attacks on Bill Maher and others.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the initial environment created, and I don't think we've ever really taken a step back. And I think the White House could do its part by saying maybe we overreacted at the time and journalists should start to be more cautious about the way they're presenting information.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really think, you know, just to be safe, that this Sunday, when ticket holders show up for NFL games, they should have to discard their gels, their water bottles. And in particular, I'd like to see Al Davis of the Oakland Raiders sit through a game without hair gel.
Al Davis has got a lot of problems with his team, but it would be interesting if that policy were enacted, because you could see the chaos that would erupt from it. We're not ready for that sort of thing.
Yeah, just win, baby, and I'll slick back my hair. Faz, you hold on there at the fire drill. We're going to take a break and return and talk about the action of the Ethics Committee. They finally found a case to work on, and we'll also talk about the President's proclamation that this is National Character Counts Week. Oh, boy. That's coming up next with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Log on to progressreport.org and sign up to receive their daily briefing in your email. If you have a comment, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
20 minutes past the hour as we continue our weekly debriefing of Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress in Washington. He's out on the street there at, 14th and H.
That's right.
Because of a fire drill. Did Bill O'Reilly call that in?
He might have. Maybe Sean Hannity. Yeah, Bill O'Reilly attacked us today. In fact, attacked the entire blogosphere, saying that if he had an opportunity, he'd go in with a hand grenade. So that's what he thinks of us.
Gosh, what a diplomatic guy.
That's the Bill O'Reilly we know and love.
Now, what about you? You're just, what, about four or five blocks from the White House there. Have you seen the parade of right-wing talk show hosts as they cozy up to the administration in its desperate hour?
Yeah, indeed, President Bush has been meeting with a lot of conservatives this week. I saw, yeah, he met with Sean Hannity and a whole host of other right-wing radio hosts, and then Karl Rove gave an exclusive interview to the Washington Times, and Dick Cheney is meeting with Time Magazine and CNN, so they're clearly trying to make a push here in the final few weeks.
Yeah, it's a charm offensive. Bush was on with George Stephanopoulos, and
right.
So he's really making himself much more available. Hey,
and Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, he was on with O'Reilly?
That's right. Three-part series this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
How did I miss that? I had my TV set for no spin. Over there on Capitol Hill, the Ethics Committee is active, even though Congress is in recess and most of the members would prefer to be in their home districts campaigning. And I find it remarkable that they're so devoted to the Foley investigation when there's a whole backlog of ethics cases that the House committee has refused to touch, most notably all the issues related to Jack Abramoff.
Right, absolutely. There are a whole host of corruption cases that have come out this week, and the punchline here is, of course, that President Bush has declared this the National Character Counts Week, which according to him means that Americans need to remember our commitments to values such as integrity, courage, honesty, and patriotism. And yet at the same time, this week has been all about corruption. We got the Abramoff probe extending to Pombo and Doolittle. We have the Rolling Stone coming out with a new publication about the top 10 worst congressmen. We have a deepening probe into Kurt Weldon, who has all these problems with nepotism going on. Then we have the House Intelligence Committee coming out with a report into Duke Cunningham's misdeeds. So there are a whole host of issues that they can and should be taking up, the House Ethics Committee, but because it's near the election time, they want to save face and try to assure the public that they're doing something on the one issue that all the public knows about, and that's Mark Foley.
Well, and they're trying to save Dennis Hastert's rather large derriere.
That's right. That's a good point. Yeah, Hastert is certainly still not out of the clear yet, and it seems that every day that goes by, his polls just seem to worsen and worsen, and it looks increasingly like he will have a very difficult time retaining the speaker slot, even if the Republicans win back the House, and I hope they don't.
Mm-hmm. And John Boehner, who is the number two to the speaker, went up to the Ethics Committee today. What do we know about his testimony?
Well, he's going to try to, from the reports, he's going to try to distance himself from any alleged involvement with the Foley incident, and he's going to try to pin it on others, particularly Dennis Hastert. You'll remember a couple weeks ago, John Boehner came out and said that he had done his job and he had gone to his supervisor and told Dennis Hastert to look into this matter, and as far as he was concerned, the matter was being looked into, and so I think that's the same story he'll bring to the House Ethics Committee, that when he learned about it, he took it to his boss and he did his job.
Mm-hmm. So there is conflicting accounts here of who knew what when and who told whom what when. And it's just hard at this point to figure out whether it will matter in the end.
Well, we're not getting too much out of the House Ethics Committee right now. They're keeping it pretty tight-lipped, except we learned today that Jeff Trandall also testified before the House Ethics Committee, along with John Boehner. And Jeff Trandall is an interesting figure because he's been caught up in this mess. He was in the clerk's office at the time of this whole incident, and a lot of the emails passed through him. And he said, according to ABC News, he directly contacted members of Speaker Hastert's staff, including everyone in his senior chain of command within Hastert's office, and explicitly told them that this incident needed to be looked into. So he directly implicated Hastert's staff, and I think it was another damaging blow to the Speaker's leadership.
And in the graveyard news conference that Hastert held last week, he said that if his staffers did screw up on this, that he'd fire them.
Well, and that was a tactical move, of course, because he's trying to pin the blame on staffers. I think he knows where this is going. He thinks that he might be able to shield himself from any wrongdoing by saying that it was all the staffers' fault. And hopefully, I think that the case will then turn on whether the staffers will implicate their boss. And, we don't know whether that's going to be the case or not, but hopefully if the staff are implicated in this and they fall, that they will come out and tell the truth about whether they told their boss and what they told their boss.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at the same time today, the story surfaced that a priest in Miami has acknowledged that he was in inappropriate relationship with Mark Foley when he was 13 or 14 years old, but he is denying that there was ever any sexual activity. He said the most they did was take a nude sauna together. And I just imagine that we're going to hear a lot more of these details, probably far more than we ever want to hear, Faz.
Right, and I don't know if you've been covering this as well, but there are rumors all over D.C. that there are other shoes about to drop, and it goes beyond Mark Foley. We've heard Representative Jim Colby from Arizona might be involved, might have had some interactions with pages that were inappropriate. And we also heard recently that Illinois Congressman Jerry Weller may also have been engaging in heterosexual liaisons with female pages. So these are just rumors right now, but, take them for what they're worth.
Yeah. And, Faz, has the president modified any of his campaigning this week due to National Character Counts Week?
In fact, I think he's largely dismissed any talk of character, and he campaigned today with Don Sherwood, who is having his own ethical problems because he is, of course, accused by his wife of beating her and of engaging in all sorts of...
Well, let me correct that. He is accused, or he has admitted to his wife that he had an affair,
and he
is denying that he beat his mistress.
But his mistress is accusing him of having done that.
Correct.
As I understand it.
And have you seen at YouTube the Don Sherwood commercial?
No, I have not.
Oh, Faz, this is like a MasterCard level of priceless. This guy comes on screen and says, I made a mistake and my family is healing, but I never beat her.
Oh, man.
No, I think his actual phrase was, the allegations of abuse were never true.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it sounds like the Titanic campaign over there. If you're starting to get to that level, your campaign can't be doing pretty well.
It is astounding. And
Bush was with him today. So it's amazing for the president at this time to put politics above principle here, and clearly that's what it seems to me at least he's doing. Instead of trying to figure out what's going on here, he's putting all that aside, the fact-finding, and just going and jumping on his boat and saying, I'm standing with this guy.
Well, come on. Republicans are entitled to the benefit of the doubt, a presumption of innocence, and habeas corpus.
They need to. They have the opportunity to challenge the conviction, right?
Yeah, they
challenge
sure do.
See the evidence before them.
Faz, thanks for joining us under difficult circumstances. I hope you get back in the building.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
We'll talk to you next week. That's Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. And next hour, Thomas Frank, the author of What's the Matter with Kansas, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last 4 decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
It's 33 minutes after the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins, your humble host here on the show they named after me. My lines are open if you'd like to join the conversation. This is a two-way talk show, and you're always welcome to jump in with a question or comment. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. 888-5-PETER-B. And we're waiting. getting to connect up with Larissa Alexandrovna. I think she's on deadline on a story, so we're going to try to connect with her. But in the meantime, if you have a comment you want to make or something you'd like to join us with, feel free to call us at 888-5-PETER-B. And maybe you want to chime in on National Character Counts Week. It's just a subtle ploy to get people to vote Republican, right? And it is sorry and sordid to see the way that the administration is playing the issues because of the election. And we talked with Faz about the manner in which this threat against NFL stadiums was played up. And in a week or so, when the dust settles, we'll be able to see just how much truth there was in all of this. But the plot has been described as a hoax. And I say shame on the media for going really hard on that story before they had verified it. And we have to put a stop to this because, you know, I recognize that there are real threats to the American public. But when we cry wolf, as often as this administration does, and when it occurs inside a political campaign where people suspect that it is motivated by politics, we are really putting the American people at greater risk. Because if a true threat arises, we're all going to say, oh, that's just Rove. He's just wagging the dog again. We got Larissa on the line. Hello, Larissa. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Well, good. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I apologize. I'm in the car.
That's all right. You're a mobile kind of journalist. You got to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
I want you to know that yesterday we did a live remote from Blue Lake, California, near Eureka. And
uh-huh.
A number of people came up to me and they commented on your contributions to our program. And a number of them were very concerned about the latest information on your cousin. Now, she has been released, or at least she was about to be the last time we spoke. So tell us the current status.
Yeah, she has been let go on bond. So not altogether out of the woods yet, but on $5,000 bond.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a hearing, but we don't have a date yet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And
so we're halfway there, but she's at home, and she's in essentially seclusion. She doesn't want to talk to anybody, and so I haven't seen her even.
I see. They moved her around to make it as inconvenient as possible, right? When she was actually released, she was at a different location in Georgia, is that right?
No, actually, it got really ugly last week. The story that I ran this Monday, I was supposed to run, and I, this is why, you know, my paranoia radar goes off, all, you know, because once again, I'm about to run an Iran story, and all of a sudden, my cousin calls her mother to say, they're moving me, I don't know where to, and I don't know when I'll speak to you next. And the family, the attorney, no one could find out where she was being moved to. And all through the night, we were all working, calling people. We were all screaming. I actually called my sources. I didn't know what to do. I was so desperate. I mean, how can you move someone and not tell their and refuse to tell their attorney and their family where you're taking them to? It turns out they were. She was on her way to Georgia. They were going to move her across state lines.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get a judge to stop it, and they were forced to turn around and bring her back.
Oh, really?
Yep. And so that happened last week on Thursday, and she was returned back. But they were driving her all the way to Georgia, shackled face down in a van.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So
that's just shocking. Now, you had to go to federal court, right? It took a federal judge to order ICE, the immigration, whatever they're
right.
called, people, to change their tune.
Right. And some members of Congress intervened as well to force ICE to give her a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, there are people ahead of her who have not gotten a hearing yet.
Mm-hmm.
Who have been there for quite some time. And, but, she, you know, thank God, I mean, I'm in the family, so I could help. And so she she got her hearing on this Monday, and it took maybe 10 minutes. The prosecution could not make a case. That is, ICE could not make a case. They had nothing to present. And the judge said, okay, well, goodbye, and there you go. And then there was some confusion because the family, my mother and my aunt had to drive to the Chrome detention facility that's in the Keys to pay the fine, and then they'd have to drive all the way to Monroe to pick her up. And when they got to Chrome, they were told that they brought cash because they were worried that if they brought a check,
They'd
say, we don't accept personal checks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they wouldn't accept cash, only a money order. And so they ran to the corner. When they got back, they were told the computers were down.
Oh, God.
So it wasn't technically for 24 more hours after she was allowed to go that she was able to leave.
And their failure to present any case or any rationale for this detention, doesn't that open the government up to charges of harassment or, selective enforcement?
Right, but she's not the only one, so technically it should open up the government to a massive class action lawsuit, frankly. The fact is, the reason they claim they're moving all these, and these are women and children women she's with, I don't know where the children are being kept. The reason they're moving them all around is because this Operation Return to Sender, what they've called it, has picked up so many people. And everyone in her group, the people, the women she was being held with, there was not a single illegal resident among them. So the question is, who are they picking up and why? And is this, I have to ask, time to the election.
Yeah.
You know, because what is the sudden interest in legal residents? You know, what happened to we hate illegals or we hate Muslims, which, obviously I don't condone either.
Right.
But how is it that legal residents are suddenly the next enemy?
We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna here on the Peter B. Collins Show. She's managing editor of RawStory.com, and she's updating us on the case of her cousin who was detained by the Immigration Service without explanation. And you heard she made several trips shackled and face down in vans. Also, they denied her critical heart medication during the time of her incarceration. And, Larissa, we did have an Operation Return to Sender surface in California this summer. We heard about a number of cases where alarms were raised in Santa Cruz. And this dealt, I believe, with undocumented non-Americans or illegal aliens, as the government would call them. And what came to light was that religious people sounded the alarm that women were being deported and their children were being left behind and then either thrown into foster homes or, just not properly cared for.
Right.
But as far as I can recall, Return to Sender, as it was used in California, was not applied to people with documents, those who are legal residents of this country.
Right. Well, that's at least her group. Now, I'm trying to find out, and here's the thing. I can't find out. No one will tell me, and this government doesn't feel like they have to tell me. I'm trying to find out how many more people are in custody who are documented legal residents, and how many of them just happen to be, even if there's just one, are actually U.S. citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a feeling, and now I may be wrong, but I don't give this bunch in D.C. A lot of credit for being confident. So there's no reason to believe that they would actually be competent when they're rounding up people. And how are you going to prove your citizenship, let's say, if you're picked up, away from your home in some way, or you don't have a driver's license, and so you can't, whip something out immediately and show them?
Sure.
I think they should be able to give the public the names of the people being held, what crime they have committed, or are charged with,
mm-hmm.
and where their children are. I think we need to be asking those questions, and we need to be given those answers, because these aren't quote-unquote terrorists, so this isn't classified information, and so there's no reason to be withholding it from the public.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the contacts that you and others made with members of Congress, did anybody get the idea that this is a serious problem that deserves, A, to be exposed, and, B, to be investigated?
Well, my understanding was that, you know, at least in Florida, there's a couple of local, there's a couple of members of Congress who have been fighting this. But by and large, nobody even noticed. And that's what scares me. How do you not notice this many people disappearing?
Mm-hmm. Well, and
it's very disturbing.
Is there a different standard even before what I call the Joe Stalin Act, the Military Commissions Bill? Is there some gray area for non-citizens that they can be detained without charge? Because an American citizen...
There used to be. As long as you were a legal, documented resident of the United States,
mm-hmm.
and you weren't engaged in unlawful activity...
Yeah.
At the, you know, when they picked you up, let's say they arrested you mid-robbery or something,
mm-hmm.
Then, no, you generally, the Constitution is extended to all those on soil, the landed immigrants.
That was my impression.
Right. But then that changed, and they began rounding up anybody who committed any sort of crime at sometime in history, you know. So, for mm-hmm. example, my cousin was with a woman. By the way, there were people that she was with who hadn't committed any crime.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman in with her who, when she was younger, I think in college or a teenager, I can't remember the details at this point, but she had sold marijuana mm-hmm. in college or whatnot,
yeah.
and was arrested. And she went on, you know, years later to have a family, and, you know, I mean, this was so long ago, and they picked her up, and they took her kids away, and she's been sitting in there, and she was actually in the transport vehicle with my cousin when they were forced to return the women back to Monroe,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I mean, to this day, I'll never forget my mother calling me screaming, literally, Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass. They've taken the women. And they won't tell us where they've taken them. And really, how can you explain this to anyone with a straight face that this is a democracy?
It's really, really scary. Larissa, we're going to take a quick break and return. Larissa Alexandrovna with us. She's the managing editor of RawStory.com. And if you have a question or comment, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
So easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, people, listen, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
And I believe people need to be free from immigration sweeps, too.
You should see what a lovely, lovely world this could be.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. And Larissa, this week, Pete Hoekstra, Republican congressman, has been in the news on a couple of fronts. One is that he tried to block the release of the embarrassing information about Randy Duke Cunningham, now sitting in jail, about how the way Cunningham was able to throw his weight around and get all kinds of juicy contracts for the people who were bribing him. Millions and millions of dollars coming out of defense appropriations. And Hoekstra got upset because Jane Harman, who also serves on the Intelligence Committee, insisted on releasing the information, and he cried foul that it's politics and it's untimely to do so. I mean, hey, he's only been in the slammer since June,
right.
And, you know, they're still getting around to finalizing the report. And like so many things, I'm sure Hoekstra was hoping that he could delay it till Thanksgiving or even later.
Right.
But you are working on a bead, or at least an angle, that there are some suspicions that Hoekstra had a meeting with Manukar Gobanafar.
Right. And I would say they're well beyond suspicions. If they were simply suspicions, I wouldn't have run this. But it appears that sometime recently he made a trip abroad to meet with an Iranian arms dealer, which is really alarming if you think about it, because why would a congressman be meeting with an arms dealer? It's just not something that people do. The last person who did it is now under investigation. That was Kurt Weldon. So it's alarming. But he met with Gurbanifar in Paris, and if you remember the last couple of Paris meetings preceded, or rather were around the time of all the cooked intelligence. And so there was speculation. That's where the speculation is that the reason for the meetings is to plant, at least what a few people said to me they suspect is going on, is to plant false information on Iran in foreign papers so that it comes into the United States.
I thought the Italians had the exclusive on...
Well, no, Berlusconi's gone, so we don't have a friend there anymore. Right, and they're already in deep trouble right now with that because of their ongoing investigation into those activities. But what's even more alarming is that a man I had never heard of named Von Forrest, accompanied Hoekstra abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was told this name, and not by, you know, one person, this was, this, you know, let's say a number of people repeated this name, and I had to go digging around for him. It turns out this guy worked for Ali North during Iran-Contra, and he was on the Contra side of the supply.
Uh-huh.
And he's apparently a congressional aide now,
mm-hmm.
Which boggles the mind. And so if this obviously completes the circle of events, because he was involved in Iran-Contra before, and so dealing with Gorbachev would be like dealing with an old friend for this guy, which then explains how Hoekstra probably met Gorbachev.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget Ali North's testimony about Iran-Contra, and that his idea for overcharging the Iranians for spare parts and then giving the proceeds of that gouging to the Contras,
mm-hmm.
was a neat idea, Senator. A neat idea.
Right, and it's what undid them, actually. That and their greed, and then, because that's not, the Contras didn't get the money. Nobody knows where the money went. Ha ha, wink, wink.
Right.
But it was his little markup idea, and then Gorbachev, on top of that, at that time, also did a markup of his own,
mm-hmm.
that undid this whole thing. It was, they were so greedy between all of them, or among all of them, that they overreached.
Now, doesn't the intelligence community have a name for people who are unreliable? Are they, it's like burned or something,
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, they issue a burn notice, which mm-hmm. is, you know, don't deal with this person, they're a fabricator. Are you kidding? I mean, even North says of Gorbachev, now, after all this time, he finds him to be a liar and a despicable character. North, mm-hmm. that is the guy who dealt with him before, and yet here we go again. You know, obviously the mainstream isn't picking this up. It's not going to be interested in a story that doesn't have a page in it or a pedophile congressman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, everyone has their own news niche, I suppose. But it's still significant because it really, you have to ask, why are these members of Congress making trips abroad? They're not intelligence officers, why are they making trips abroad to meet with arms dealers?
And Abramoff couldn't have paid for this trip, Hoekstra.
Well, no, this trip is not even on Hoekstra's roster. There was, in fact, his whole, when we were looking through his travel logs,
mm-hmm.
his entire, literally the entire quarter, I believe, is just absolutely clean. Like he never went anywhere, which is bizarre. Except that he did take a trip to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I called them for comment to try to say, look, my understanding is here's the date range. You want to give me a time when you went? You know, they wouldn't respond. Last time around, they just simply would not comment. But this mm-hmm. time around, they wouldn't even respond. And, you know, we had to go through his travel logs to try to see what the most likely date was. And we suspect it was sometime when he took the trip to Israel that he snuck off over a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That he could have hidden it under the expenses of the trip to Israel, because that's the only trip he officially made, even though he's made several.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, Larissa, just about a minute remaining. I'm curious if you've gotten any clues that the potential of striking Iran, you know, as early as the end of this month or sometime in the next 60 days, is that still on track, or has Kim Jong-il thrown a spanner into it?
Oh, I don't think Kim has done a thing to alter this. At least, I mean, this is at least my understanding.
The only reason I raise that is that Bush has had to say we're going to use diplomacy with North Korea, and I think that makes it harder to use a military option with Iran, having not exhausted diplomacy.
Well, no, because you're again thinking like a logical person.
Oh, I'm sorry.
These are not logical people.
Sorry.
Because it's not about WMDs. It's about regime change. So whatever argument they need to, deploy on U.S. soil in order to facilitate that, they'll use. Whereas in North Korea, they don't want regime change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. or if they want it, they don't want it actively enough to pursue it.
Understood. We're out of time, but I thank you for joining us, and keep us posted, will you?
I will, thank you.
Thank you, Larissa. That's Larissa Alexandrovna. Read her work at rawstory.com. Coming up next, author Thomas Frank joins us to discuss What's the Matter with Kansas on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. It's Dow 12K, at least for today.
There was a lot of good news out of the corporate earnings sector today.
The priest in the Mark Foley story says he didn't mean any harm.
If I knew that he doesn't like it, I wouldn't do it.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. On this date, 19 years ago, Wall Street was in shock. The Dow plunged 508 points on what became known as Black Monday. Today, the market had cause for celebration. At the bell, the Dow was at 12,011, a record high, and its first close over 12,000. CBS News correspondent Trish Regan on what's driving the market.
They're pretty happy with some of the earnings reports we've been getting out. Apple, Pfizer, Coca-Cola all came in better than expected. Google came in better than expected. So there's a lot of sort of good news in the corporate earnings sector that is helping this rally along.
Oil prices edged higher today.
The oil market reacting to Saudi Arabia's move today, considered a pro-American vote in the OPEC cartel. But the Saudi oil minister now agrees with Venezuela, no friend of the Bush administration, that the OPEC countries should cut their exports by 4%, about 1 million barrels per day. The Saudis speak of a need for market balance. They claim the oil price has been falling too fast. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
About this.
I am Dr. Jen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not Jen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
I'm going to say 8 words you won't believe. Buying a used car should not be painful. Here's 4 words that prove it. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get APR financing as low as 2.9% on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Made you a believer, didn't I? Honda certified used cars. They're the next best thing to new.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
The priest who allegedly molested former Congressman Mark Foley when Foley was a teenage altar boy in Lake Worth, Florida, is telling his side of the story. Father Anthony Merciaica, now 72, claims it was innocent fun when he and Foley went skinny dipping or rubbed each other's backs in a sauna.
We used to go in to the sauna bath, you know, there was a Finnish community there in Lake Worth, and then we used to go to take a bath, you know.
In an exclusive interview with CBS News correspondent Katie Couric, Merciaica said there might have been one sexual encounter, but he's fuzzy on the details.
I had taken some pills, had taken some alcohol and sort of, that was drug, not that we used drugs, you know.
And what happened?
That's what I can't remember, you know. And I guess that's what maybe Mark is thinking, that was something bad.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The House Ethics Committee continued taking closed-door testimony on the charge that is causing Republicans such grief with voters. Did they cover up what Foley was doing with the teenage pages? House Republican leader John Boehner, who appeared today, has said he found out about it a few months ago and told House Speaker Dennis Hastert, who he says already knew.
Told them the same thing I've told you for the last 3 weeks. About what I knew and when I knew it.
A more important witness today may have been the former House clerk Jeff Trandle. His job included overseeing the PAGE program, and he reportedly knew about the Foley problem with pages for years, had confronted Foley about it, and had told Hastert and other leaders.
Breaking news from CBS News correspondent David Martin. North Korea may be testing U.N. sanctions.
A North Korean ship, U.S. intelligence suspects, may be carrying military equipment prohibited by the UN sanctions, has left port in North Korea. Its destination is unknown, but it is currently being tracked while U.S. officials try to figure out exactly what's on board and what to do about it.
The U.S. military in Iraq announces the loss of three more troops, bringing the death toll to 74 so far this month. Officials acknowledge that after a two-month offensive, the situation in Baghdad is still very bad.
The violence is indeed disheartening.
Major General William Caldwell, the top military spokesman, says Operation Together Forward has not met expectations.
We are working very closely with the government of Iraq to determine how to best to refocus our efforts.
President Bush, in Pennsylvania this afternoon, said withdrawal from Iraq would fulfill Osama bin Laden's highest aspirations. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Please don't make me decorate this weekend.
Fine. No decorating this weekend.
Really?
Sure. Monday will be just fine.
Oh, man. I knew it.
It's the October Savings Event at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on paints and stains and 15% on Duration Premium Coatings. Save an extra 10% on custom order wallpaper and get free shipping, too. Hurry. Sale ends Monday, October 23rd.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
I hear you got a new car.
Yeah, I got it for a good price.
What kind is it?
Don't know.
What color?
No idea.
Four-door or two-door?
Haven't a clue. But hey, I got it for a good price.
Buying a car on price alone doesn't make much sense, so why buy car insurance that way? At Progressive Direct, we provide rates from other top companies plus 20 facts and figures so you can compare on more than just price. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter B. Joining us this hour is Thomas Frank. He spent the month of August as a guest op-ed columnist at the New York Times, and after repeated phone calls, he relented and agreed to come on the program today if I promise not to play any of that damn Kansas music. Hello, Tom. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Peter B. Collins?
I'm doing okay, but I've got my finger on the trigger here.
No.
I just can't help it.
Thomas, I heard you playing Duran Duran earlier.
Oh, you did?
Isn't that what it was?
The song that just before this one?
Yeah.
No, it's actually...
No, not that. Not that.
That's the Sisters of Mercy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, I remember those days.
Thomas Dolby is what you heard during the break.
Okay. You see, I'm getting old, Peter B. Collins, and I forget these things now.
Well, it's because you're a dad.
Yeah.
And you're collecting songs about potty training now, right?
That's right.
In fact,
we sing that little song.
I have a CD with 10 different songs about potty training. If it's time,
oh my God,
let me know. The reason I know your child is about 2 years old because he or she was born right around the 2004 election.
That's right.
So,
on the 5th of November.
Oh, wow. And tell us a boy or girl. I don't remember.
He's a little boy.
Yeah. And so you're getting ready for the big celebration.
For his second birthday?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Again, it falls right near Election Day.
How are you?
This time, hopefully there'll be a little better results for my team.
How are you feeling about the Heartland this time around?
Things look good in a lot of places. They even look good in Kansas. It's astonishing.
And you can answer this any way you like. Are you surprised that things have changed this quickly, or is it in your mind something that should have occurred prior to the 2004 election?
Well, I'm not surprised, but on the other hand, I don't think that what we're seeing happening is a I think the Democrats are going to do real well on Election Day, but I don't think that that's going to represent a larger repudiation of conservatism. I've moved to D.C., you know, and things have just been falling apart for the Republicans here in D.C. for the last couple of years. You know, it's been very gratifying to watch it happen up close, but these guys just can't catch a break. And, I mean, it's no surprise that the Democrats are going to do real, real well. Now, I don't think that necessarily means that, that they have figured out how to beat these guys on an ongoing basis. I don't think they've figured that out.
Now let me push back on something you just said here, because I understand the perception that you're describing. But Bush doubled down on what I call the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006, and he mau-mau'd the Congress into giving him that.
Yeah.
Now, that's a victory. And this guy, he took the NSA spying scandal, clear law-breaking, intentional law-breaking, admitted law-breaking, and then he took the architect of that and made him head of the CIA and got the Senate to approve it.
Yeah, it's an outrage.
Exactly where is Bush losing so far?
No, I mean, they're going in the elections that are coming up that the Democrats are going to do well. That's all I meant by that.
Okay.
It's astonishing to me, as it is to you, that he pushes forward with these, you know, precedent smashing, you know, unbelievable violations of the way things are always done or have always been done in this country, and as though he had this kind of mandate, you know, like as though he was a sort of Franklin Roosevelt type, and he doesn't have any such thing. I mean, they're barely hanging on, you know. They have you know, another aspect of this, the part of it that I always think about is you know, in my own field, in the media, when I was growing up, now I'm not trying to toot the horn for the liberal media here, because I have my own fights with the the mainstream media, as everybody else does. But
when you find the liberal media, have them toot the horn really loud.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Go ahead.
When I was growing up, and the New York Times or the Washington Post would nail the president or nail the majority party for any of the things that they have got him for over the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years,
mm-hmm.
there would be big trouble. The president would have to react somehow. They would have to take it into account. They'd have to deal with the criticism. People would have to be fired. They'd have to rearrange things. You know, they'd have to change their ways. He does nothing. He doesn't care. It's extraordinary to me.
Well, there's the old expression, you know, when you're driving on a slick road, you turn into the direction of the spin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he does. He you know, develops a vulnerability, and he just turns right into it. And I have been astounded that he's been able to do this repeatedly.
Yeah, and he comes out, well, sort of all right. I mean, I think you know, he's a lot of guys are gonna get their just desserts here in November.
All right. Now, the most bizarre story that came across my email today is that Jenna Bush went to Paraguay under the cover of some UNICEF mission, and while she was there, she purchased like 160,000 acres of land for her daddy.
What?
Have you heard that?
No, that cannot be right. Is it? Are you truthing me here, Peter B. Collins?
There is a full truthiness in this. I attribute it to this email I got. Let me find it here.
Because that sounds like, you know, of course you know what that implies.
Well, what we need to do is check on the extradition treaties with
yeah,
with
that's
Paraguay.
Yeah, it's a famous getaway spot for the international, let's say, conservative movement.
Right. Okay. So here it is. The source of this story is a website called whatdoesitmean.com.
Oh.
All right. And
well, I've never heard of that. But then again, you know, that's because I'm very second wave.
All right. Don't get all, you know, journalistic on me here. Anyway, this is attributed to a reporter named Sorcha Faal, F-A-A-L, as reported to her Western subscribers. Russian intelligence analysts are reporting today that Jenna Bush has secured on behalf of her father The purchase of nearly 100,000 acres of land in the South American nation of Paraguay, which is also confirmed by the Latin American News Service, as we can read as reported in their article titled Bush Buys Land in Northern Paraguay. An Argentine official regarded the intention of the Bush family as surprising, besides being a bad signal for the governments of the region.
Oh, my goodness. Well, see, they're just annoyed because they wanted him to buy land in Argentina.
I guess. The president's daughter had used the cover of a United Nations group on her mission to Paraguay to arrange this massive land purchase. As we can see, confirmed by the Associated Press News Service in their article titled, Jenna Bush Joins UNICEF Program in Paraguay.
Well, you know, maybe there's oil there. Maybe that's what he's thinking.
Is this, they're opening an Arbusto office there?
Ouch.
Yeah. So I've heard this, and I heard somebody else refer to it. I cannot vouch for the credibility of this in any way, shape, or form. But you're right there in the beltway, so I figured you'd
know.
Well,
I'm not. I'm not really up to speed with what Bush is doing. That is an astonishing tale. I just can't believe it. But maybe it's just speculation, you know.
I have no idea. I can neither confirm nor deny it. But I'll
tell you something. You know, the only connection I have with these people now that I'm inside the Beltway is they fly overhead in their helicopters at all hours, really low, and it is very loud, sir.
Well, and Marine 1 is usually followed by Marine 2. We were at Camp Democracy on the Mall there in September.
Uh-huh.
And what I noticed was that when a helicopter delivered the president to the White House, there was a second one, I guess a decoy, that would come up right to Constitution Avenue and then peel off.
Okay.
And only one would actually land at the White House.
All right. I didn't know that. I never get out of the house, but you can hear them. They're very loud. They fly really low.
Right. The sound.
So that's the only time I ever see these guys.
We're going to spend this hour with Thomas Frank, his book in 2004, What's the Matter with Kansas? You're working on a new book, right?
That's right.
And I'm interrupting that.
But that's okay. It's 7 p.m. here. I don't get much writing done at this hour anyways.
Okay, good. If you'd like to talk with Tom Frank, give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. As we continue, we're going to talk about his description of politics in Kansas and, by extension, in the heartland, and compare it to the thoughts of Brian Mann, who was on our program about 10 days ago. He's the NPR rural reporter who's published a book called Welcome to the Homeland. And your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hey, Sheila Gale here. Join me on Reality Radio Saturday afternoons 4 to 5, where we dive into the real stuff of life, living day to day, trying to find peace in this crazy world with the most colorful guests. Saturday 4 to 5, Sheila Gale and Reality Radio, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic. Time to start thinking about your holiday cards. Just a click away. Go to www.myrickphoto.com. Myrick Photographic on Fremont Street in Monterey. Myrick.
Had a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's give the very latest as you folks drive around the Monterey area. Let's start off with a problem, a big problem east of Gilroy, 152 east of Bloomdale Road. It is shut down in both directions, and it's been shut down, in fact, since about 7 o'clock this morning. It's all because of a double big rig that spilt chemicals onto the roadway. Hazmat crews have been on scene and are working diligently. They're just trying to clean up the spill at this point. In fact, they tell us that everything is going to be reopened at first about 8 o'clock, but now they've pushed it up to 10:30, perhaps even 11 o'clock tonight. Here's your eastbound detour, Bloomfield to Fraser Lake, then to Fairview, 156. Westbound direction, the detour as follows, 156 to 101. The support brought to you by TomTom. TomTom is your go, is your everyday GPS portable solution.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 20 minutes past the hour. Our guest this entire hour is Tom Frank, the author of What's the Matter with Kansas? Came out in 2004. I'm sure it's out in paperback, too, and you could pick it up and read it. And we're going to ask him to update some of his thoughts about the politics of Kansas and, by extension, how it might affect the November elections just less than 3 weeks away. Tom, over the phone when I talked to you last week, I mentioned that a fellow named Brian Mann had been on our program. He is a correspondent for NPR, and he's described as their rural correspondent. He lives way upstate in the Catskills, or actually the Adirondacks in upstate New York. And he wrote a book called Welcome to the Homeland, subtitled A Journey to the Rural Heart of America's Conservative Revolution. And you got a couple of mentions in it. They're respectful, but he has some disagreements with you. And let me read a quick excerpt. He says...
Wait a second, Peter B. Collins. You're going to read excerpts from somebody else's book?
Yeah, because... I gave your book to somebody who really needed to read it, so I don't have it for a fireside reading right now.
All right.
So he wrote, he describes what he calls cultural disdain, and he says this sort of cultural disdain echoes frequently among urban political writers and not a few Democratic strategists. Rural folk are too simple-minded to warrant serious scrutiny. If the homelander vote does matter, it must be because the hicks are being manipulated and tricked by wily Republicans. Slick operators like Karl Rove use family values to gin up outrage among poor and working-class whites, but they have no intention of ever changing abortion laws or purging gays from civil society. Here's the quote. As culture war, the rural backlash was born to lose, wrote Thomas Frank in his influential bestseller.
Well, I didn't say rural. I said backlash.
You know what? They put it in brackets.
that's not right. Come on now.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. Keep going.
I don't disagree with you. As culture war, the added rural backlash was born to lose, wrote Thomas Frank in his influential bestseller, What's the Matter with Kansas? Its goal is not to win cultural battles, but to take offense conspicuously, vocally, even flamboyantly. And Mann goes on, the idea that rural communities might be part of a coherent political movement with their own cogent agenda is dismissed out of hand. The metro linguist George Lakoff describes conservative culture as essentially infantile. What is required of the child is obedience, he wrote in Don't Think of an Elephant, because the strict father is moral authority who knows right from wrong. So Mann feels some affinity for conservative heartlanders because he has a brother, Alan, who he describes in the book as a born-again who is very devoted to the so-called family values offered by the Republican Party. And I actually side with you, Tom, because I think that while it's not fair to describe everyone as rubes who are being manipulated, I think there are a lot of people who want to be led in the direction of their biases, and what you were describing.
Yeah, and you've raised a number of interesting points. I guess I should start with the first one, which is when I started the research for the book, I assumed that what I was describing was a rural movement, but that turned out to not be the case. The main sort of wellsprings of this kind of hard right politics in Kansas turned out to be Wichita, it's the biggest city in Kansas, mm-hmm. and the suburbs of Kansas City. And you also find it in the sort of medium sized cities. But by and large, rural people, farmers, tend to still be fairly moderate Republicans. That was one of the things that I encountered. Now let's see about the whether or not the Republicans. By the way, and I should mention, I have a great deal of what I thought was sympathy or affinity for these people since I grew up amongst them, and since I used to be one myself as a child. And it's a big part of this book is me trying to remember and recover what that mindset was like. I was a teenage, Reaganite.
Mm-hmm.
And, trying to take that attitude seriously rather than dismiss it. And I thought that's sort of what I was trying to do in the book. That's kind of the whole idea there, not to brush it off, but to take it seriously. Now, about the fact that Republicans don't, have no intention of ever, that they give the culture wars people, short shrift, and they don't really care about family values. I mean, that was one of the arguments that I made in the book, and now, I mean, nobody even bothers bringing that up anymore. I think that's, that stands as proven.
Well,
I mean,
Tom Frank, you're really not in tune. Don't you realize that President Bush has designated this week National Character Counts Week?
Oh, how did I miss that? I guess that obviously because my character is so,
suspect,
degenerate. But what's this? The latest thing to come out? This book that claims that in Karl Rove's office they have all these ways of referring to the evangelicals and the
nutty,
the
crazy.
Yeah, and just look through the papers of the Abramoff case. He and his buddy, who was an assistant for Tom DeLay, and remember now there is nobody more attuned with the evangelical voter than Tom DeLay. These guys referred to those people as wackos. Not only did they do that, but they managed to discredit, and through the course of the Abramoff scandal, basically, five or six of the chief leaders of the evangelical political movement in this country by roping them into gambling efforts, to mm-hmm. efforts to promote one casino at the expense of another casino. And some of these people definitely knew what they were getting into, and they went along with it anyway. I don't see how there can be any doubt anymore that these people come in second in the. I mean, when the Republicans get in office and they sit down and figure out their agenda, that business interests come first. They do what the corporate world wants first, and then these people come in a distant second.
Well, and what you defined in the book, your thesis is that over time, the former progressives in Kansas were persuaded to vote against their self-interest in many respects by these appeals to so-called values and emotional issues like abortion and now gay marriage.
Yeah.
And I think that has been borne out. We've seen the manipulation exposed, and we've also seen that evangelicals have gotten wind of this.
Oh, yeah.
And are
very
starting
angry
to dial
that.
Back.
Yeah, this is something that sort of gives me a lot of satisfaction, is to see this movement you know, very angry at their leaders. You know, their leaders have really betrayed them. And it is totally true. And I think that's largely because a lot of the things that the cultural conservatives want are impossible to achieve. For example, I mean, and by the way, just for the last few weeks, I've been immersing myself in the sort of cultural conservative anger. I've been reading old direct mail letters from the 1980s. Do you remember this? This was a big deal back then.
Oh, yeah.
And this stuff is, you know, it's nutty. These kind of things that they would send out from the headquarters, you know, to raise money for this or that conservative cause. But they would, you know, these people were... who were writing the letters, and these letters were, you know, real strange things, but and they still do this, of course, but these people are so uncomfortable in the modern world, the kind of voice that you see in these letters. They hate the movies.
We've got to take a break, and I can't stop it. So
they hate it when you take commercial breaks. They, you know?
Stand by. We'll complete that thought in a moment with Thomas Frank on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Please pay no attention to what's not going to happen. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The authorities were quick to discount that website posting about a threat to bomb 7 NFL stadiums this weekend. The Department of Homeland Security has been careful to point out that the threat had credibility and encouraged the public to go about their plans, including attending events that involve large public gatherings such as football games. Which brings us to an issue that we're all going to have to face sooner or later. We all know how to prepare for an attack. You have your water, your food, your meeting place. But what about non-attacks, which have been happening with increasing frequency, especially around election time? Well, the first step, I would have to say, is not to be worried about your food or water supply, because during a non-attack, you will not be needing them. The other thing is to carefully analyze what plans you would be going about right now if there was no attack expected, and then go about them. Now, this is not always easy. For example, this latest non-attack of simultaneous truck-mounted dirty bombs is not supposed to happen October 22nd, which marks the final day of Ramadan, which has seemed like one of the least likely days not to attack. But remind yourself, whenever you hear a warning of a non-attack, no matter how horrible the thing that's not going to happen might be, that the purpose of a non-attack warning is to keep you not scared. Because if we can keep you not scared, you will never have to worry about feeling not secure about the truck-mounted dirty that won't be going off this weekend in your city. In the meantime, we in the media will continue to do everything we can not to report attacks that do not happen.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Our guest is writer Thomas Frank, the author of What's the Matter with Kansas? Let's mix it up. The lines are open. Let us know what you think about the way the Heartland might vote this November. 888-5 Peter B. is our toll-free number.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love castle disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
Tom Frank, I remember what we were talking about before that commercial break that was about four blocks long. And it was that you were rifling through direct mail appeals to Republicans from the early 1980s. And I'll just tag that with the interesting item that Richard Viguerie, the leader of Republican direct mail, acknowledged by all,
right,
has gone south on the Bush administration.
That's right, he has.
He's on the attack.
Yeah, in no uncertain terms. He has an article. Actually, it's a new book out, I understand.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but... that's right. He's had enough of these guys, and he's an interesting figure because I've actually been reading a bunch of his stuff, and you know, he comes across as a populist, but through most of his life as a very conservative populist, where he thinks the establishment, you know, he likes to use that word, the establishment refers to liberals, I guess he now sees that. Well, I haven't read his book yet, so I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but
I have not yet either. But I've just seen
I'll
news
read
accounts.
It and then report back to you. Okay, how's
all right.
That?
So these direct mail pieces from the '80s.
Yeah, and they weren't exactly sent out to Republicans at the time. This is when they were building up. And what's fascinating, you know, they were converting people from the country used to be predominantly Democratic back then, but what they discovered was that there were all sorts of voters out there, particularly tended to be blue-collar people in places like Ohio and, you know, your sort of Rust Belt areas, who were very angry about the social issues. And the direct mail stuff would, it would ask these people for money, you know, to help with some campaign to do something or another. And a lot of them are real tawdry. But anyhow, what I was getting at was the objection to just the culture that we live in. You know, and this is something that is very widely shared. I don't like to, you know, I turn on the TV and it's almost always shocks or offends me in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely go to the movies anymore. And, you know, modern culture is kind of offensive. That's sort of how it's what it's planned to be. And these people have fashioned a political movement in a response to that, but this is something that they can never deliver on. There's nothing they can do about changing that culture through politics, or I mean, maybe there is, but I don't know what it would be. Sort of like, you know, censorship or something.
Mm-hmm. Now in this,
but now in Paraguay they have an answer.
And by the way, we know that the place to get in-depth coverage of that Paraguay story is The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he'll be all over that.
I'll be checking it out tonight. Now in this book that you haven't read, the one I cited from Brian Mann, he again takes a slightly different tack, where he's saying that these rural people now have satellite TV or cable, and the internet. So they're as wired as their metro counterparts.
Yeah.
And they resent Paris Hilton and the reality TV shows.
Sure.
Just like you and I do.
Yeah.
But they tend to put it in more political terms. I mean, when I see all that dreck on TV, I don't think, oh, it's Democrats or Republicans. I think it's Murdoch.
Yeah, that's right. But that's not, you understand, that's an unusual perception. That's not what most people see that and they say, liberals.
Yeah.
Liberalism put that there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, liberalism is identified with, the ACLU, all those court rulings in the 60s that allowed, that made it so you couldn't ban books anymore, that allowed all what things that had previously been thought to be obscene. They identify liberalism with pornography and all that sort of thing. And, there's a logic to it. But, Murdoch, this is the man that invented the, what the Page Three girl is?
Of course, I love the son.
Yeah, this is, the leading sort of bankroller of conservatism
well,
in our
he's,
time.
Well, he has added so many colorful terms to the lexicon, like the word bonk.
Oh. Yeah,
that is a verb for sex, and it's permitted in the Sun. Also, rent boy is his way of describing a male prostitute.
I hadn't heard that one.
Well, you haven't read the Sun recently.
I'm not up to speed with Murdoch, but this is something that they're never going to do anything about. Mm-hmm. Who discomfort their man.
Yeah. Let's take some calls. Peter V's on the line from Monterey. Good afternoon, Peter. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Tom Frank.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Mr. Frank, I want to tell you how much I enjoyed your book.
Well, thank you.
I loved your summation of the mob in Kansas that had been royally screwed, and then they march to the castle of the elite only to demand a tax cut.
Yeah. Yes, and this is it's replaying itself all the time there. The neighborhood where my family lived when I was growing up is this very wealthy neighborhood. It's a suburb of Kansas City, and when I was a kid, I'm sorry. Should I shut up, or do you want to keep talking, or can I
tell the story? Go ahead.
Oh, please tell the story.
We're hanging on every word.
When I was a kid, this was regarded as a very conservative neighborhood. That's the way these kind of like super wealthy enclaves were. The neighborhood went for Barry Goldwater by 70%, which was unusual. I mean, even Kansas went for a Democrat that year, went for Johnson. But my neighborhood went for Goldwater, damn it. And it was, this ultra-conservative place. Now, fast forward to the present. I'm writing the book, and every time I would sit down to interview one of these leaders of the right-wing movement in Kansas, I'd tell them where I had grown up. It was in this place, and they say, "Oh, that's where the liberals live," and I would just, that was just bizarre to me. How could they think these people were liberals? It's because the association, when you talk to conservatives, they associate this kind of corporate style wealthy people with liberalism, and they understand their movement as a rebellion against those people. And by the way, me writing that in the book hasn't changed anything. I was in Kansas just the other day, 2 weeks ago. I gave a lecture at K-State, which is a Kansas State big university in the central Kansas, in Manhattan, Kansas. And a bunch of the local college Republicans came, and they were going to ask me tough questions. And one of them actually said at one point, "How can you talk about Kansas when you come from liberal Mission Hills?" And there was one of my friends from when I was growing up was in the audience. And he was just laughing. He couldn't believe, the idea that this neighborhood was liberal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the switch, That's how they view the world.
Peter, go ahead.
I have a suggestion for a new title for the book that you might write in the future.
Okay.
And that would be Nitwit Nation, How Cable Television Crushed Critical Thinking, with a foreword by Richard Pombo. Again, I really, really enjoyed your book, and I literally had to highlight and dog-ear every other page because it was just searing insight into myself. What I could never possibly get my mind around is how people consistently vote against their best interest.
Yeah.
Peter,
thank
Peter,
you. That's
just
very kind. Now you need to go out and buy copies for all your friends.
Well, Tom, I was going to give you an opportunity to pre-sell him on your new book with the $50 autographed edition.
Oh, well, the thing is, it won't be out until 08. This is how the process moves very slowly.
I see.
But the new book is going to be good. It's going to be about conservative D.C. You know, I moved to this town, Peter B.,
mm-hmm.
and everybody says, oh, D.C., you know, land of the liberals. Inside the Beltway, you know, the Potomac and the, you know, Hudson and blah, 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 blah. It's supposed to be this very liberal place. And sure enough, I know plenty of liberals here. But this is not a liberal town. And the things that go on here, you know, the decisions that are made and the kind of people that run this place, they ain't liberals.
Yeah. All right, Peter, you got the tip off there. Save your money in 08 till there'll be a new book.
Thank you very much,
no,
gentlemen.
No, sorry. Okay, I'm shutting up now.
No, I want to hear that thought.
No, I was just joking.
All right, let's talk to Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I had a couple of questions. I was just wondering, I think, didn't the farmers kind of get screwed on this last farm bill that went through?
You know, this is unfortunately I was not paying attention. I've since gotten engrossed in my new work and I'm not up to speed on the farm issues.
You're going to have to call Ed Schultz about that. I frankly am not up to speed on the most recent farm bill. I know that it was ugly and full of pork, but I don't recall really how it impacted the farmers.
Can I just say one thing about, and I, like I said, I didn't follow the recent farm bill and I don't know what happened. But generally speaking, the confusion that, you know, the people, when I was writing the book, obviously I had to understand farm issues, and they're extremely complicated. If you're not from, you know, if you're not from a farming background, it is very hard to understand what goes on. But one of the things that I found out pretty quickly is that when things that often seem like subsidies to small farmers aren't, they're actually subsidies for big agro, you know, for the big agricultural conglomerates. And the way that works is they subsidize the family farmer, the small farmer, essentially they try to get them to overproduce. And the reason they want them to overproduce is it brings down the price of grain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, obviously very bad for the farmer. But it's very good for the middleman, for the, you know, agricultural conglomerates, because then they, you know, they buy their grain for cheaper, and the price to you and me at the grocery store does not change.
Which explains why Archer Daniels Midland can afford to put those glossy non-commercials on the front of the news hour on PBS.
Oh yeah, not only that, but I mean, that's a company that's had their way in almost everything for a very long time. But these laws are very carefully crafted, often by the agribusiness, you know, conglomerates,
mm-hmm.
or their lobbies here in D.C. That's who writes these things. And so what seems like they're, you know, helping out small farmers often is they're doing quite the opposite.
Ed, I think you had another point.
Well, I was just, to shift gears a little bit, how the war is playing in the heartland now, if he's followed that at all.
I'm actually not up. See, I'm sorry, I really suck at these things. I'm really not up to speed on that either. But I will tell you that when I was writing the book, and the war in Iraq was just getting going, and it hadn't become the kind of thing that it is now, you know, that there is a much greater distance from those events in a place like Kansas than there is in a place like Washington, D.C., where it's on the front page of the newspaper every day, it's on the radio constantly, you know, everybody talks about it, people are furious about it. In Kansas, there is just the sort of basic assumption that people often have in a place like Washington, D.C., is that our leaders are incompetent, they've made these terrible mistakes, they're very cynical, and they're leading us down the primrose path and that sort of thing. In Kansas, people don't think that. They think it is an issue of do you support the troops or do you not support them? Are you a patriot or are you not? And I think that's an effect of being, you know, of the sort of distance that they have on it. Now, I'm not, you know, this just a, I'm just trying to talk about the kind of feeling that people have there. And this is what makes it, a difficult issue. I'm sorry. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it, Peter B. Collins?
Well, it makes a little. Okay.
Okay.
It was actually more thoughtful and factual than your non-answer on the farm bill.
Hey, now come on.
Now, Peter, be kind.
Yeah, I want to see that picture of Tom Frank behind a, you know, a harvester, an international harvester combine. That's what I want to see. We're going to take a break and return.
Thanks, Peter.
Ed, thanks for your call. If you'd like to join us and talk with Tom Frank, he'll give you an non-answer to the next question you can pose. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. I kid the famous author. 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372, and I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. A big problem east of Gilroy Pacheco Pass 152. This is east of Bloomfield. The roadway shut down in either direction there due to a double big rig and a corrosive chemical spill. Now, this first started about 7 o'clock this morning. Last report, everything going to be reopened by about 10, 10:30, perhaps even 11 o'clock. So, again, hazmat crews on scene, and they're trying to tend to the situation. Here's the eastbound detour, Bloomfield Road to Fraser Lake. That'll get you to Fairview to 156, westbound 156 to 101. Also want to talk about Hollister 156 at 25. Heads up for a disabled, broken-down tractor blocking the intersection there. And Gilroy, southbound 101 after 10th Street. We have an accident, three vehicles in the center divide. The Toyota Avalon with an EPA estimated 31 miles per gallon on the highway. Mike McDowell, KXRA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thomas Frank, the author of What's the Matter with Kansas, is our guest. He's got a new book coming out in 2008, and we'll just have to wait for that. Dave is calling from Eureka this afternoon, and I got to meet Dave at our live broadcast in Blue Lake yesterday. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Peter. And Tom, subject of Peter's program yesterday, his show that did take place right here, largely involved the question of how much can we believe that the election results that we end up with are indeed reflective of how the people voted. And I must say the audience that was there had some serious questions to raise on that. I wonder if that's an area in which you've put any thought.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Peter, I'm sorry. I'm really letting you down tonight. This is something that I have not given a lot of thought to, and I apologize. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're being honest, and that never hurts. Dave, thanks for the question.
Thank you.
You bet. And, Tom, there is serious concern, particularly in Ohio, where the Secretary of State, who we think fixed the election in 2004, is now a candidate for governor, Ken Blackwell.
Yeah.
And we had a report from Bob Fetrakis in Columbus yesterday. They have sent out sneaky letters to 1.2 million, mostly Democratic voters, with a kind of sneak thing where you have to opt in to renew your voter registration.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, there are all kinds of games being played to suppress turnout, and this is against polling that shows
this
Blackwell...
This is classic Republican politics. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to suppress turnout.
Blackwell is 20 points down. Sherrod Brown is ahead of Mike DeWine by 12 or 13 now.
Isn't that great? Sherrod Brown is one of my favorites. He's the kind of Democrat that I can really get behind.
Well, according to my mom, I spoke to her today because it's her birthday and she lives in Cincinnati. Ken Blackwell yesterday accused Sherrod Brown of being gay. Because he took a trip, some sort of a trip with an unescorted male. So we're getting desperate in Ohio.
Oh man. I don't know what to say. I mean, it is true that the Republicans have always worked to suppress turnout, especially, you know, if you can suppress turnout for likely Democratic voters.
Mm-hmm.
There was a candidate. You hear that? That's the baby pushing some item of furniture around.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I asked him to stop, but he's only two. he wasn't paying attention. But when I was in Kansas last, there was a candidate running for. She wanted to be Secretary of State, and her main platform item was that there was massive world class voter fraud going on in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't win. And I wondered what people made of that. It just seemed so strange, and in Kansas, it's not that kind of place.
Yeah, there's now a photo ID required in Ohio, even though it's been ruled unconstitutional in Missouri and Georgia. And also, yesterday it was revealed that in California, a letter has gone out to people with Hispanic surnames, telling them or reminding them.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah,
that it's illegal for illegals to vote.
Yeah.
And this letter was sent
to... But I believe they also said it's illegal for any immigrants to vote, no matter what their status was.
Well, but the thrust of it is to confuse people who are citizens, who are legally entitled to vote, and who are registered.
Yeah.
It is to intimidate them from showing up at the polls.
Absolutely.
Next, we go to Scottsdale. Christina, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hi to Tom Frank.
Well, hello there, Tom and Peter. I'm really excited that I got on today, even though I just know I have a couple minutes here.
Well, go ahead.
What I wanted to say is, you were talking about what's wrong in Kansas, and, we have a thing here in Arizona, and we call it like brain cloud or brain fog, and people are real happy, and they think everything's fine. And when you ask them about the government, they say, oh, the president's taking care of all of that. We trust them.
Yeah.
And you have an incredible amount of people that really still believe that they don't have to think about it or worry about it because everything is fine with the elected officials. But on a good note, we have a tremendous amount of people that have become progressives here.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people that were Republican are not voting Republican. And we have some great events, to get people excited about the election. But another thing that's funny is the one of the headlines in our paper yesterday was Arizona rates the people are the dumbest or something of this nature, which just explains the fact that when you live in a warm climate, kind of southwestern, people want to relax.
Yeah,
they don't want to deal
brain
with
in neutral,
stuff,
right?
Huh?
You put the old brain in neutral.
They put the brain in neutral. You get up in the morning, it's all sunny, you go a little hiking, you go have your coffee,
Yeah.
And if you speak to someone, and there's definitely, there are progressive people, but a lot of people that you talk to, it's like, well, we trust.
Yeah.
Bush is a Christian. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, my God.
In 2006, they're still saying this,
Christina, you're hurting his head.
Now, speaking of the relationship between sunshine and right-wing politics, and this is, I don't know if you guys know anything about this or not, but it, historically speaking, a lot of this stuff got its start in Southern California back in the day, in the 50s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened to all of that, by the way? Are they routed out down there?
Of course not. Orange County goes, strong Republican, and San Diego is also largely a Republican bastion there. Christina, thanks a lot for your call. I want to jump to Jack in Eureka. Hello, Jack. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you, Peter B?
Good.
I just emailed you a link to Wong Kett. The Wong Kett's blog was the one that had the most information about the Bushes buying property. And
okay, thanks. I'll take a look during the break.
Interesting stuff. But
please go to your point. We just have a moment.
Okay, something for Tom. I grew up in rural Oklahoma, eastern Oklahoma, back in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And, we were Democrats, everyone. My dad was an FDR Democrat, would have shot anyone that in the household that said they weren't. I had Carl Albert, Robert Kerr, Mike Monroney, those were my people.
Yep.
Those were my senators and representatives. They were conservative in most ways. And I just think that the 1960s, that there's a complacency that set in through FDR's New Deal that has almost turned people to thinking a different way. And I don't know how to say it other than it's the same people. It's just a whole different attitude.
Yeah. The 60s just demagnetized everything, and everything has been sort of reset in a different way. When I was in the 80s, when I was a kid, now Kansas has always been very Republican, and I was very conservative. And I remember we went to a debate tournament in Oklahoma, my friends and I, down in Ponca City.
20 seconds.
Okay, and anyhow, we used to say, look out for the judges down there in Oklahoma. They're real liberal down there.
Well, but see, I always saw Kansas as liberal because they had abolitionists.
Yeah, that's...
Gentlemen, we got to wrap up. Thomas...
Hahn's Auto Repair in Seaside is Hahn's Down, the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hahn's Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Some unexpectedly strong corporate earnings reports propelled the Dow higher today. It closed for the first time above 12,000 with 11 points to spare. Now the question is, will it stay at this level? CBS News correspondent Trish Regan is following.
There are a few traders out there that are urging caution. They're saying, look, take a step back, reassess, make sure that this rally is built on fundamentals.
And for those who've been sitting on the sidelines, strategist Al Goldman at AG Edwards says this is not the time to jump in.
Now that we're at that magical level, I'll refer back to an old market bromide, you buy the wake and you sell the wedding. Well, today we saw the bride and groom walking down the aisle.
Gasoline prices may have gone as low as they're going to get. OPEC, with support from Saudi Arabia, has agreed to cut production by more than 1 million barrels a day. Analyst David Purcell at Pickering Energy in Houston says it's an effort to stop the price slide.
Oil prices 10 weeks ago were in the high 70s, let's call it $78 a barrel. Today, 10 weeks later, it's 58. So prices have come down fairly rapidly to a level at which the OPEC countries don't want to see oil prices go much lower.
U.S. intelligence suspects a ship that just left North Korea might be carrying military equipment in defiance of the U.N. Security Council. CBS News correspondent David Martin broke the story.
The U.S. is tracking the ship through a variety of means, satellites, patrol planes, other ships. While U.S. officials are trying to figure out exactly what's on board and is it military equipment specifically prohibited by the sanctions.
With the possibility of a second nuclear test, China says it sent a high-level delegation to North Korea on a mission of major significance. President Bush got a rare chance to campaign for some of his fellow Republicans today, and CBS News correspondent Mark Noller went along.
Though many Republican candidates are keeping their distance from President Bush, not Virginia Senator George Allen. Facing charges of having used racial slurs, he welcomed Mr. Bush's help at a fundraiser.
There's no doubt in my mind this good man will win by getting the votes of Republicans, discerning Democrats, and wise independents.
Earlier in the day, Mr. Bush campaigned for Pennsylvania Congressman Don Sherwood, whose bid for re-election is marred by his admission of a five-year extramarital affair with a woman 35 years younger. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Richmond, Virginia.
About an hour ago, convicted killer Michael Dwayne Johnson was to have been put to death in Texas, but he beat the executioner to the punch. Early today, Johnson was found dead in his cell. Prison officials say he'd slashed his throat with a homemade knife. The Nasdaq gained 3 points today, while the Dow stole all the thunder. The Nasdaq closed at 2340. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're in insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
It's a heads up for hospitals. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Concerned about an explosion of drug-resistant infections, the government is issuing new prevention and control guidelines.
It's a growing problem in hospitals and healthcare facilities,
says the CDC's Dr. John Jernigan. In 1972, only 2% of the bacteria that causes staph infections resisted antibiotics. Now it's more than 63%. The guidelines warn hospitals to carefully track infections, and if their strategies aren't working, they need to make changes. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
In the final weeks before the midterm elections, another political scandal, this one in Orange County, California. Republican leaders are calling on their candidate for Congress to withdraw from the race. Tan Nguyen, who's challenging Democratic incumbent Loretta Sanchez, has been linked to a letter that falsely tells Hispanic immigrants they could go to jail for voting. Nguyen denies involvement but says he's fired a member of his staff who might have been responsible. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I am Dr. Jen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not Jen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
I'm going to say 8 words you won't believe. Buying a used car should not be painful. Here's 4 words that prove it. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get APR financing as low as 2.9% on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Made you a believer, didn't I? Honda certified used cars. They're the next best thing to new.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
A it's the Peter B. Collins Show live from the Left Coast. I'm glad you're listening. This is the hour where we feature your phone calls, and we call it the Free Speech Zone. You're invited to call us and talk about any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. I'm going to say that again slowly because sometimes it's hard to catch. 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Well, less than 3 weeks away from important elections on November 7th. And for a moment here, I want to focus on an important race in California. It is for the race of the Office of Insurance Commissioner. And you may have heard me talk about this. We interviewed the Democratic candidate, Cruz Bustamante, back just before the primary. And I was floored because he flat out lied to me. I specifically asked Bustamante if he would be taking money in the campaign from insurance companies. And he laughed and said, oh, not much. He said, less than 5%. Well, a few days later, they published the contribution reports, and it turned out that his support from the insurance industry was well over 20% of what he had collected for this year's campaign. So on that basis alone, I'm very disappointed in Bustamante. But there's much more. His record as a member of the Assembly, and he served as Speaker for a couple of years, is one that does not distinguish him as an advocate for consumers. In many cases, he carried legislation supported by the insurance industries that would benefit them at the expense of California consumers. You do have a choice, and he joins us on the program right now. Steve Poizner is the Republican nominee for Insurance Commissioner this year. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Peter. Nice to be here.
Very well. And this is interesting from my point of view because you probably know this is a progressive radio show, and we typically support Democrats. And I will probably be voting for almost all of the statewide Democrats on the ticket this year. But you have impressed me as someone who is oriented toward consumers and who is not going to be beholden to the insurance industry. There are two reasons. One is that you're a man of means. You made money on a cell phone technology that is like GPS that helps us track you know, where a cell phone is in an emergency. And secondly, you have taken, to my knowledge, $0 from either insurance companies or individuals linked to that industry.
Well, Peter, that's exactly right. And first of all, let me just say right up front, one reason why I wanted to run for insurance commissioner is because of all the positions out there, this one has no business being a partisan position. Now, legally it is today, but when I'm insurance commissioner, I'm going to work with the legislature to change that. This is a regulator, after all, and has no business, you know, being a partisan position. And so I want to make that official change in the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just say that.
Just on that point, you wouldn't return to the Roxanne Gillespie days where it was a gubernatorial appointment.
No.
It would be a nonpartisan statewide office.
That's correct, elected by the voters.
Mm-hmm.
The voters clearly want to elect the insurance commissioner. There's no question about it. But it would be like the superintendent of public instruction today. You would run, but there wouldn't be any, you know, party primary. It would just be the top vote getters would win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, your point about independence from the insurance industry is just a crucial issue in this campaign. The fact is the insurance industry definitely wants to have huge influence over the insurance commissioner. The commissioner has broad authority over everything insurance in this state, from workers' comp to health insurance, and it's critical that the insurance commissioner be fiercely independent of the insurance industry, fiercely independent, because when the insurance industry doesn't fulfill its responsibilities to policyholders, then I can just tell you this, when I'm insurance commissioner, I'm going to come down on the insurance industry like a ton of bricks, and the only way that that's going to work is that if I have absolutely no relationship with them, financially, of course, and I did make a decision when I ran for insurance commissioner, started running a year ago or so, that I wouldn't take a dime, not one dime from anyone the insurance commissioner regulates, insurance agents, brokers, or insurance company executives. It's really important to get their input on issues, but not take their contributions. Absolutely.
Well, and we've seen, I mean, people have their own anecdotal stories, but when we have major disasters, the Oakland Hills fire, the Loma Prieta earthquake, the Northridge earthquake, time and time again, we have seen the big insurance companies try to wiggle out of their obligations to the policyholders by, you know, citing the language, failing to pay true replacement cost. I mean, they do everything they can to minimize their payouts to the customers who have been paying into them year after year without making a claim.
Well, the insurance industry is just a huge, massive industry in California. $120 billion of premium is close to 15% of the entire California economy. So the insurance commissioner has a huge impact over every business and consumer. And the fact is, some people in the industry simply just don't do the right things. Now, a lot of people in the insurance industry have high ethical and professional standards, but some of them simply just don't want to pay out.
Mm-hmm.
They drag their feet, or they just don't want to fulfill their responsibilities to, you know, to pay out legitimate claims, and that is wrong. One abuse that's unfortunately all too common is that a few insurance companies will sometimes cancel your insurance or not renew your policy simply because you turn in a legitimate claim.
Right.
In the insurance industry, they call that use it and lose it. And as insurance commissioner, I simply won't let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Steve Poizner is with us. He's the Republican candidate for insurance commissioner. He just told you that if he's elected, he'll work with the legislature to try to remove it from partisan politics. I think that's a very good move and something that would benefit probably the industry and consumers in the long term. Steve, tell me a little bit about your view of John Garamendi's work as insurance commissioner. He's on his second tour that was interrupted by some time in Washington, D.C., and executive life was a low point. But in terms of his work on behalf of consumers, how do you rate John Garamendi's tenure, and what two or three policies of his would you continue or enhance?
Well, I do think that Commissioner Garamendi has done some things exactly right, but he's also done some things that I would absolutely do differently. There's no question about it. So we have a different style and approach. But the things that I like that he has focused on and implemented nicely have to do with looking out for people simply don't have a lot of money to pay all the insurance premiums they need to pay. An average family of four barely makes $50,000 a year. If you add up all the insurance premiums from auto insurance to life insurance to earthquake insurance, it eats up a big percentage of people's budgets. And Commissioner Garamendi has been very, very focused on helping people at the bottom of the ladder, you know, buy the necessary insurance they need. And there's a couple of programs that I really admire and I want to expand. One is the low-cost auto insurance program where he's come up with this stripped-down liability package that costs less than $400 a year that allows people who make less than 250% of the poverty line to buy auto insurance and comply with the laws. That's a really good program. There hasn't been much of a take-up rate on it. It needs to be more aggressively marketed to folks in low-income areas, and I'm going to go after that, you know, with a gusto. The other thing that I like in the same vein is the commissioner has come up with this voluntary investment program for insurance companies. Believe it or not, insurance companies have close to $1 trillion of reserves that they invest back into California. They're the largest investors in California by far. And he's got this program to encourage insurance companies to invest in redevelopment projects in low-income areas. Again, that's barely gotten off the ground. I love the concept. I really want to expand it.
Steve Poizner has received the endorsement of about every major newspaper in California. Is it 18 now?
Yes, Peter, it is 18. There's been 18 newspapers that have evaluated both Cruz Bustamante and myself, and every single one has endorsed, you know, my campaign.
And that's remarkable given that you are a first-time candidate for statewide office.
Yes, I'm definitely having to work really hard to introduce myself to political reporters and to voters and to get every single newspaper to come to the same conclusion,
mm-hmm.
that I'm the one that has the skill set and the independence to drive down insurance rates and hold insurance companies accountable. Anyhow, I'm quite proud of that, and I don't think that's been done.
Well, and a key endorsement, too, that impressed me is Harvey Rosenfeld.
Yeah, Harvey Rosenfeld, as some of you might know, is the author of Proposition 103, which was the proposition that created the independently elected insurance commissioner's post. And most people who know Harvey understand that he's been the key consumer watchdog, making sure insurance companies fulfill their responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
He's never endorsed a Republican, ever. And he understands that I'm the right person for the job, and that's why he's endorsed me. And he understands that I'm going to make this into a nonpartisan post and that I have that independence from the insurance industry to get the job done.
Let's see if we can squeeze in a quick call for Steve Poizner. It's Lisa from Eureka. Hi, Lisa. Just about a minute, so go right ahead.
Okay, real quick. You've mentioned every other insurance except health insurance. And I don't know about everybody else, but my health insurance costs are very high.
Well, Lisa, that is a hot issue. There's a health insurance crisis in California. 20% of the people in this state don't have health insurance at all, and the other 80% are worried about losing it. And I do have a series of programs I want to put in place to drive down the number of people who don't have insurance, because when they don't have insurance, they use the emergency room. That's five times more expensive than going to a clinic, and I'm going to drive people out of the ER.
That's all good and well, sir, but, you know, looking at my premiums being a third of my take-home, you know, my paycheck being cut in a third because of health insurance premiums that I have to pay to have health insurance, isn't that just as criminal as not being able to have health insurance?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, 50% increase in premiums in the last 6 years. So we do have to do something about the escalating cost of health insurance. One thing I want to do is to implement an electronic medical record system with privacy protection. Fact is, 90% of all medical records are kept on clipboards. This clipboard record keeping has got to end. That causes a lot of unnecessary...
Even with HIPAA compliance.
We have to make sure that we protect people's privacy, but the fact is we have to eliminate redundant tests and errors that occur because everything is kept on paper. That will help get control of the escalating costs of health insurance.
Lisa, thanks for your call. I'm late
thank
for a break
you.
Here. I'd stick around for more. Steve Poizner, thank you for joining us. And if people want to find out more information, go to joinsteve.com. That's joinsteve.com. And your TV commercial called Cruise You Lose.
Yes, that's
it's really effective, and it's funny, too. I think it's a real winner.
Well, thank you, and you can go to cruisefacts.com to get the information about, you know, all the ethical problems that my opponent has. Peter, I really appreciate the opportunity to introduce myself to your listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve Poizner, and we'll talk again. That's Steve Poizner, candidate for insurance commissioner here in California. On to the Free Speech Zone next. Lines are wide open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You know the rules. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. I'm Peter B. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at a problem on Pacheco Pass east of Gilroy. 152 east of Bloomfield remains shut down in both directions. In fact, it's been shut down since about 7 o'clock this morning. The reason, a double big rig spilt a chemical, and so hazmat crews remain on scene. Now, according to CHP, they say that everything should be reopened by perhaps 10 o'clock. That could be extended to even 11 o'clock tonight. Eastbound detour, Bloomfield Road to Fraser Lake to Fairview to 152. Westbound detour from 156 to just about 101. Also want to take a look at Hollister. We have an accident eastbound 156 before Bixby. It's a septic tank truck that went off the roadway, overturned. Large amounts of fluid spilled on the roadway as well. Now during Mattress Discounters Pillow Top Sale, you'll save up to $400 on Sealy Posturepedic Pillow Top, plus sleep free for a year on approved mattresses. Mattress Discounters, have a good night's sleep for less.
Continues. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies. It's time to go home. Take our boys away now. Take our girls away now. Take our boys.
We're in the free speech zone, and you can call us. Lines are open right now. I got three lines available at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Up first, we go to Laurie in Eureka. Hello, Laurie. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that. Thanks for calling.
I said it just for that very reason.
I know. You just wanted to get my goat.
Yep. So I was just calling. I got on votesmart.com to try and track down Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer's voting record for the torture bill.
Right. That is you got to get it right. It's the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act.
That's why I couldn't find it. And I was wondering if you could tell me if they were nays or yays.
They both voted against it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. In fact,
I wasn't sure about Feinstein because I'd written her a letter and I got a lot of the usual, you know, standard political talk stuff.
Right. Well, you know, I have my problems with Senator Feinstein, but on critical issues, she generally does the right thing. I can't say, you know, on a broad basis, but let me just quickly, I think it's worthwhile to take 20 seconds here and identify the Democrats who did vote for the final bill without habeas corpus.
Please do.
Carper of Delaware, Johnson of South Dakota, Landrieu of Louisiana, Lautenberg of New Jersey, Lieberman of Connecticut, Menendez of New Jersey, the Nelson brothers, who aren't really brothers, Senator from Florida and the Senator from Nebraska, and Senator Pryor from Arkansas, and finally, Jay Rockefeller, Democrat from West Virginia, who has no business voting for this. He's not up for re-election. I can't provide any excuse for him.
Right.
And I think I got to turn the page here. Oh, Salazar of Colorado and Stabenow of Michigan.
Yeah, I saw the Colorado one. But I'm heartened to know that our California representatives did the right thing.
Well, they did. Yep. Thank you, Laurie.
Excellent. Thank you. Have a good night.
You bet. I appreciate your call. Now to Lisa in Eureka. This is the same Lisa we talked to a couple minutes ago. Good. Welcome back.
I missed some of what he said about in health insurance because I'm on a cell and I couldn't really hear him very well.
Okay. Well, he was starting to tell you about his position is to try to change the rules so that they don't spend as much money on paperwork. And I think it's important to note that the Insurance Commissioner of California has a limited role in health care regulation. As I understand it, they only deal with the HMOs and not with other health care insurers
right.
or providers.
They don't deal with the Medicaid system or PPO providers.
Right. And
right.
so he can't control from his post if he's elected all of those issues, but I've talked
with
him.
Which is really a shame.
It is, yeah.
Because there are Medicaid clients in the state that have some of the best health insurance money can't buy.
Yeah. So I think he's aware of the issues. In a previous conversation with him, he told me that he doesn't support single payer, and I don't agree with him on that. But again, my basic issue here is one of integrity. And that Cruz Bustamante has proven repeatedly that he doesn't care about his integrity because it doesn't appear he has very much of it.
Okay, well, I thank you very much, Peter, and you have a great night. Thanks for coming up here.
You bet. I had a great time in Eureka and Blue Lake.
Next time, I plan on being there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, next on line three, it's Marianne in Phoenix. Thanks for calling, Marianne.
Yes. I was calling because in recent days, both Dick Cheney and Karl Rove have indicated that they think that they will hold both the House and the Senate. And I'd like to know if they know something that we don't know. I just wanted to round up everyone to really look up what's going on in their state as far as independent voter registration, because here in Arizona, it seems to go up by leaps and bounds every quarter. And
That's the pattern in many states. In fact, most states, the membership in the two big parties has declined, and what is called independent or declined estate has grown proportionally.
Right, but we haven't been losing the Republican and Democrats. We've just been gaining the independents.
Right.
In Arizona, and I'm sure in all states you can download.
Marianne, I can tell you more to say. I'm up against a break. You want to hold on?
Okay. No, that's okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. 1-888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking you for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. There are a couple of lines available here in the free speech zone, so give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's 1-888-573-8372. Just a word of warning to most of our radio stations. Tomorrow, I'll be substituting on the Tom Hartman program. So beware, you'll get a double dose of Peter B. Collins. Hope you can handle it. And at the moment, the B in Peter B. Collins stands for bemused. I am quite bemused by this story that surfaced today, and I want to thank a couple of listeners who emailed more information to me, Jack in particular. This is the story that Jenna Bush, you know, the twins, Jenna and Laura. Well, Jenna reportedly has been in Paraguay recently. She just apparently concluded a 10-day trip sometime over the last few days. And the word coming out of a jaundiced source, we'll consider the source, is the Cuban News Service. The report is that George W. Bush has purchased 98,000 acres in Paraguay near the Bolivia-Brazil border. And at wonket.com, this is a blog, and I honestly don't know who the Wonket is who writes it, so take that into account. The Wonket reports that the Senate in Paraguay voted over the summer to grant U.S. troops immunity from national and international criminal court jurisdiction. And immediately after that, 500 heavily armed U.S. troops arrived with various planes, choppers, and land vehicles at the airbase called Mariscal Estigarribia, which happens to be at the northern tip of Paraguay near the Bolivian-Brazilian border. Really? U.S. troops in Paraguay?
And then there's more to this story that apparently Reverend Moon may be involved in this real estate transaction. So I want to be clear that what I'm reporting to you is not proven fact, but it's a fascinating little story. And why would George W. Bush be purchasing nearly 100,000 acres in Paraguay? Has he cleared all the brush in Crawford? He wants a license to carry a machete at all times? I just don't know. We have line four here next, and my screen says Tony Snow. Is this the White House press secretary?
Yes, Peter B., and I must tell you, I am apologizing in advance. You know, somehow the invitations got screwed up, and you were supposed to be invited to come here to speak. Hold on just a minute. I will get to that spot in a minute. I'm supposed to read a discount furniture spot here. You know, I have a couple of jobs.
I see.
And I'm just embarrassed. You were supposed to be, you know, a featured guest and meet and talk with the president and everything. But we do have, I can get you in with Mr. Cheney. I understand you're a big fan of his, and we might be able to get you in with him.
I'd love to talk to Dick. I have a few questions for him.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah. Yeah, does he have several hours, and would we be able to meet, say, with him under oath?
Well, I think the trouble is you want to wear your flak jacket because, he carries that shotgun with him all the time. And I'm worried about you, Peter.
Well, Mr. Snow, if I were to get this exclusive interview with the vice president, just how long do you think it would continue before he told me to F myself?
I would say about 30 seconds. But I saw that in the paper the other day, and I was thinking about you and how they neglected to invite you. So all the other righties were there, but nobody on the balanced middle.
Yeah, well, you know, the Clinton administration did that too, but they simply didn't have at the time in the 90s that many progressive talk show hosts that they could invite.
Right. Well, you're a good one, I want to tell you. Just wanted to let you know that.
All right, Tony. Thank you very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's see. Line five is Howard in Carmel. Welcome, Howard.
Thank you, Peter B.
You're welcome.
I was thinking of, if those machines, those crooked machines, are so easy to hack, what we should do to get rid of them completely is to post the hacking instructions on all kinds of liberal and democratic websites. And it would screw the whole election up so badly that the Republicans would yank the machines.
Well, I don't know about that. Number one, I think that it's fair game to put out accurate information about the vulnerability of the machines, and
yeah.
I think that's done pretty effectively at bradblog.com. Also, I think that people really need to review the videotape of the Princeton experience, Princeton University's hacking experiments on Diebold machines. And, you know, I'm in favor of getting that information out there as much as possible. What I don't want to do is send a message that could be used by Republicans to say, oh, gosh, there are Democrats out there trying to steal this election. Look, they just posted this, private source code on the Internet, and they're trying to encourage people to hack elections and flip them in favor of Democrats. At this point, I want to see fair elections, because if the polls can be trusted, Democrats should win this one by significant enough margins to escape the graft and gamesmanship of the Republicans.
Well, I certainly think they're going to try, though. The Republicans are going to try, and there's just going to be a lot of legal challenges and arguments and everything.
Yeah.
And in the end, the Supreme Court is just going to rule in favor of the Bushies, you know.
Well, I wish I could argue against your point, but we do have to be vigilant. And when we discussed this yesterday in our special broadcast in the Eureka area, one of the points we made is that Democrats in particular should not concede on election night. Even if the tabulation at that point indicates that they have lost, should hang in there, wait for all votes to be counted, and not rush to concede, because we've seen that happen over and over again. John Kerry in Ohio, Francine Busby in Southern California, where there are issues to be resolved, and we've got to, really ride it out and make sure that every vote is counted. Because
wouldn't it be nice if we had a fair election this time?
I'd love to see that.
I would too. Thank you very much,
Peter. Howard, thank you for your call. 888-5-PETER-B. And next, John in Carmel Valley. Hi, John.
Peter, tell me about Melanie Morgan. I know very little about her, and Doug Basham the other night was thinking of, he wants to invite her on because he's furious at her for saying nasty things about Cindy Sheehan.
Mm-hmm. Well, Melanie Morgan is co-host of a conservative talk show in San Francisco that has a significant audience. They're probably number five in morning drive ratings here in San Francisco. And she's been there maybe 7 or 8 years, and she is a shrill and pandering right-winger.
As right-wing as Michael Savage in a female counterpart sense?
Yeah. It's interesting because I guess I consider him the worst of that ilk. And she has moments where she drops into savage mode. Most notably earlier this year over the phony controversy about the New York Times story about the monitoring of international financial transactions. There was no national security breach in the information published by the New York Times. But she climbed on board with the Cheney and Rove talking points and was seriously dissing the New York Times. And she suggested that Bill Keller, the editor of the Times, should be tried for treason. And in a follow-up interview where she was trying to get another day of news coverage out of it, she then added that she thought that he deserved the death penalty if he is convicted of the treason that she dreams of. And so she also took one of those junkets to Iraq where they just parroted the military propaganda and tried to spin, you know, how great things are going and how there's so much good news that doesn't get out of Iraq. And then she put together a group that took a bus down to Crawford the first summer that Cindy was there. And she, what was it, Not in My Name or Cindy Doesn't Speak for Me, something like that. And they trotted out parents of service members who support the war. And so she is a camera-chasing loudmouth without very much substance.
Would you have her on if you could get her on?
No.
Because Tom Hartman has, I noticed he has as many right-wing people as he seemingly can get on. He loves to debate them right there, and he does a good job of it on his program.
Honestly, I would debate people I respect.
Well, see, I told Doug Basham, he was asking his callers, what do you think? Should I have her on if I can get her? And I said, mm-hmm. No. I didn't think she would come on, number one. And number two, I would like to see some of the vitriol that now exists, especially from the right, but it's rising on the left as well, kind of ease off. And I figured that having her on wouldn't do anything to
there would
solve
be
that
heat
problem.
There would be heat and absolutely no light, and I would not waste your time or any other listener's time putting on somebody like that who has no substance. She is simply a shill for the Republican Party and for conservatives in particular. And again, if I respected her, I'd have her on and we could have an honest debate.
One last question. Does Michael Savage, is his headquarters KSFO?
No, he used to be on KSFO, but he's now on the Clear Channel station KNEW in San Francisco.
Which is the bigger bastion of right-wing broadcasting, KNEW or KSFO?
KSFO has a bigger audience. They have Rush, Dr. Laura, Hannity, the show in the morning that we described, and I don't know who else.
What's the liberal counterpart? Is there one AM?
There's an Air America station in San Francisco that's not doing so well.
Where would you put KGO right now?
KGO is a rare radio station in today's American media landscape in that they do have hosts of different perspectives. It's not all right or all left. Their daytime hosts are pretty conservative, and then they have an evening guy, Gene Burns, who's a libertarian, very bright man, and then they go left after 10 p.m.
They
with,
really go left.
With,
it's amazing because Bernie Ward, I think he should have been the guy to be the left's counterpart of Rush Limbaugh, don't you? I mean, he's certainly up to it.
Well, I like Bernie a lot, and I know him personally. He did have a national program on Saturdays and Sundays for a couple of years in the late 90s. So he has tried the syndication field a little bit, but he's most comfortable, I think, at KGO. Thanks a lot, John. I got to run. All right, we're going to take more calls in just a moment, a quick break, and then we'll return here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's a line open if you want to grab it, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
This is Laura Pruneta, Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's get you home safely and give you the latest. Well, Pacheco Pass 152 east of Bloomfield, our big traffic topic all afternoon. Really, it shut down in both directions due to a double big rig that was carrying a chemical. It spilled. This happened about 7 o'clock this morning. CHP telling us that the roadway will be reopened hopefully by 10 o'clock, perhaps even 11 o'clock tonight. So here's the detours. Eastbound direction, Bloomfield Road to Fraser Lake to Fairview to 156. Westbound detour is 156 to 101. Getting word of a problem in Prunedale, northbound 101 before Blackie Road. It looks like metal pipes are in the lanes there, so be advised about this particular situation. Well, the Toyota Avalon, with an EPA estimated 31 miles per gallon on the highway, all the little extras you desire, Avalon, where luxury meets fuel efficiency. I'm Mike Bedell with traffic on KRXA AM 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, about 11 minutes away from the hour, and we're here in the Free Speech Zone.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like hairspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorocarbon strip away ozone. They can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and they've now deduced the vampires of progress have come on to rules. Well,
Well, I always drive the freeway in a bulletproof vest. I fiber in my diet and a blood pressure test.
That's my old pal, Dr. Elmo, the guy who trashed Christmas with Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Called global warming.
And he's trying to do the same with Halloween. He's got a CD out called Dr. Elmo Sings the Booze.
Solar is sexy.
And this is my favorite song from it. It's called Global Warming.
Cool digs fossil fuel. Prepare for damning droughts and hellish hurricanes. Record-breaking heat.
You can find him on the web at drelmo.com. And we found Jennifer on the line from McKinleyville. Hello, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Great show yesterday up here in Humboldt County.
Oh, thanks. I had a great time. And I just like to repeat my gratitude to Dave Berman, Tom Seaborn, and everybody who came out to make it a great event.
Yeah. Well, I just want to give another plug for the MoveOn.org program, Call for Change.
Right.
Where people can call into key races and help get the vote out in those key, very close congressional races throughout the country. And you can call from home at any time from your computer. And actually, I think your listeners might be interested in the McNerney campaign also has a way that you can call from home and help vote Pombo out.
Well, McNerney is really coming on strong.
He really is. It's looking really good for him.
Pombo is enjoying the broad-based Republican decline, so that race is in play.
Exactly. And you can go to jerrymcnerney.org, and you can, right in the upper left-hand corner, you can just click on it, and you can start calling from home to contact, you know, voters in their district to help get them out to vote.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But the bigger one is callforchange.org with Move On.
Callforchange.org.
Yep.
All right, Jennifer, thanks for mentioning
that. I'm planning to take a whole week off before the election to do this kind of calling.
Well, thank you.
It's that important.
It is important, and I appreciate your activism.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Next up, Carrie and Salinas. Thanks for your call, Carrie. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. How are you?
Good, thanks.
This is the first time I've called you, and I'm losing my voice today, so I'm sorry. Hope you bear with me.
I will, and when you're finished, unless you don't use alcohol, I recommend a little medicinal scotch.
Oh, okay.
Just toss it back and let it hang in your throat for a while.
Great. Thanks for the tip.
Mm-hmm.
I was really just calling to make a comment about a previous caller.
Yeah.
She was mentioning the torture bill and had mentioned how that our state senators did the right thing in voting no.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to make a comment and say that they really didn't do the right thing, that it's very easy to let it go to the floor and be able to say that you voted no on it. What real leadership would have done was filibustered it.
Well, that's a very good point. And it's one of the reasons why I've recently come to the view that Harry Reid should step down whether the Democrats win control or not this November. I would like to see Dick Durbin, the number two in the Senate, step up, because I think he is a smarter leader. I think he has a clearer record on progressive Democratic issues. And I also think that Harry Reid has been disappointing, both in terms of not fighting on critical issues. There should have been a filibuster on the Alito nomination, and I agree that this was an issue worth filibustering, and they blinked. Harry Reid is afraid of the so-called nuclear option, where the majority in the Senate would change the rules and end the potential for filibuster. And he's been living under that threat for a year and a half now, and he has been intimidated by it. And instead of standing up, and even if they lost the cloture rule, which permits the filibuster, I would like to see them stand for something, fight for it, make a clear signal of these differences to the American people. And then if they lost it to the Republican majority, that would be a very strong reason to dump the Republican majority and put Democrats back in control. And at that point, the cloture rule could be reinstated. So I'm tired of seeing these Democrats give up without a fight. Because I know that the deck is stacked against them, and I know that they are in a weakened position. But despite the Republican majority in the Senate, the cloture rule gives the minority greater power than we see in the House, and on a crucial issue like the torture bill, the Democrats should have used that.
Absolutely. And cutting a deal just so that hopefully they could pass an amendment or two. Just really was not a good excuse.
Well, and the Democrats were lame on the whole issue. They let John McCain and Lindsey Graham and John Warner battle with the White House over finer points. You know, and I'm not saying that McCain wasn't taking on substantive issues, but he was content to try to, you know, maintain linkage to the Geneva Conventions. He lost, but he made a good fight. On the issue of habeas corpus, the Democrats were nowhere to be seen. You know, the strongest voice who caved pretty quickly was Republican Arlen Specter.
Yes, well, I absolutely agree with everything that you said. But I just wanted to make that comment because I am very disappointed in Senator, well, all of the Democratic leadership, but I made my phone calls and emails to Boxer and Feinstein, and they did not do the right thing.
All right. Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks so much,
and
Peter.
Apply that scotch as soon as you can.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And vodka's a good substitute if that's what you have around. Tom in Phoenix, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, I'm enjoying the show. I'm visiting here in Phoenix and picking it up on the local Air America station.
Where are you visiting from?
From Texas, and we just lost our Air America affiliate about 3 weeks ago in Dallas. But
oh,
we're
yeah.
trying to take the example from Phoenix and see if we can't come up with an alternative and bring it back on the air.
Great, I hope that happens.
I wanted to just add a few maybe facts about Paraguay and some interesting things that have been going on there, and Dick Cheney and a few other things. Real quickly, Paraguay is about 6 million people population and roughly the physical size of California. Half of it more is very dry like West Texas, and the other part is fairly fertile in the east, lots of rain. It is underlain by the Guarani Aquifer, which is the second largest, I think it may be, freshwater aquifer in the world. The place where the Mariscal Estigarribia air base is was mm-hmm. built by Alfredo Stroessner, the former dictator's government,
uh-huh.
back in the 70s, and it apparently has a roughly 10,000-foot-long
runway
there and can take C-130s and such if need be. It is actually closer to the Bolivian border and a bit more northwest, about 200 roughly miles from the Bolivian border.
Okay.
The area where supposedly Bush may have bought, or there's dispute about whether it was him or his father, bought this huge tract of land is probably a bit further east and closer to the Brazilian border.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been a number of interesting things. Cheney actually went down in June 05. Two things. Let me back up.
Okay.
Castiglione, the vice president of Paraguay, came and visited Washington and met, I think, with Cheney at the time. Excuse me.
Okay, Tom, you just have about 30 seconds, so go right ahead.
And then Rumsfeld went down there about the same time as he was trying to drum up support for the Coalition of the Willing in Latin America,
mm-hmm.
and was unable to get a whole lot of support for that. But for an 18-month period beginning in June 05 and running through till the end of this year, the Paraguayan government has had rotating U.S. troops come in doing training exercises.
Tom, I got to stop us there. This is fascinating, and we will continue to look into this. I appreciate your call.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Are you worried about lead and other toxins in our environment and the negative effects they can have on your family? I'm Nurse Rona. Join my guests, Sharon Green and Dr. Asa Bradman, to learn about ways to prevent and respond to children's exposure to toxins.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. North Korea may be testing U.N. sanctions. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports exclusively that satellites and spy planes are tracking a North Korean ship that might be carrying banned military equipment.
U.S. intelligence tracks every ship that leaves or enters North Korean ports, and it has been doing that for years and years. And there are instances, most of which have never become public, in which one of these ships will pull into a port in a country that has relations with the U.S., and the U.S. will arrange with that country to go on board and search the ship.
So far, no decision on how to handle this one. The ship's destination isn't clear. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice continued her diplomatic offensive in South Korea, where she offered public assurances of U.S. support.
The United States takes its obligations under our defense arrangements very seriously and will act on those obligations.
A high-level Chinese delegation has left Pyongyang after delivering a message to North Korean leader Kim Jong-il, presumably a strong warning against further nuclear tests. The Dow hit the magic number today and then some, closing at 12,011. CBS News correspondent Trish Regan tells us strong corporate profits gave investors confidence.
There was a lot of good news out of the corporate earnings sector today. Apple came through with higher-than-expected earnings. Also, Pfizer, Coca-Cola helped things along. So this was all good news for traders who want to make sure that corporate America is doing well.
Oil prices may have bottomed out. OPEC just reached an agreement to cut production by 1.2 million barrels a day. It's an effort to stop the decline that's seen oil prices fall more than 25% since mid-July. Mark Foley, who resigned from Congress in disgrace for sending salacious emails to teenage pages, claims he was molested in his youth by a Roman Catholic priest. That priest, 72-year-old Anthony Murcieka, acknowledges a relationship with Foley that, in retrospect, might be considered inappropriate. He lives on the Maltese island of Gozo, where CBS News correspondent Katie Couric reached him by phone today.
Are you still claiming that these encounters were all perfectly innocent?
Well, I mean, at the time, we didn't think they were malicious, you know.
Murcieka says there might have been one sexual encounter, but he was taking tranquilizers.